It is now time for the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on Western Iowa's Information Leader, as well as your classic hit station, 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. We have got Mason Nealon, Jeff Blankman in studio with us, and also we've got Austin with the Carroll Merchants in here with us this morning as well, coming off a really good couple of games, I would say. The Merchants rolling right now this last couple of weeks or so, 13-4 right now, 8-1, I think you're in your last 10 games right now, so it's been a really nice start for the Merchants this year. Austin, I want to thank you for joining us, and how's it been being in Carroll so far this summer?
It's awesome. It's great to get out in front of people and just a great community. So
we were joking before we got started that most of the time when we got a Merchants player in here, we talked to him about, you know, how's Carroll, how's Iowa, you know, but you're an Iowa born and raised kid, you know, out from Lynn Mar up there in the eastern Iowa area and stuff like that. So what's it like, you know, going from one side of the state to the other side of the state and playing in here in Carroll?
I mean, not much change. It's kind of just, I'm in a different community, which is honestly a better community. I do agree. It's great being out there in front of the people, and I mean, Carroll is an awesome people. Like, I haven't met a person yet that's just like grouchy and mean. Like, they're all nice. So that's the one thing I love about being here, is everyone's just happy.
Yeah.
So take us through the process of how you became a Merchant. Did you know anything about the Merchants really before that, or how did that process play out?
Yeah, so I played at DMAC for 2 years, and my head coach actually knew Rod, and so we've had him as a couple games, and we got to know him pretty well, and we actually had some DMAC players from last year play through here and got a couple return, or I think one just returning, and then my coach asked me, he's like, hey, you want to play for the Merchants? And I said, sure, let's go do it, and got through everything, and now I'm a Merchant.
Did you, being over at DMAC and Boone, did you hear about the Merchants before, and so you kind of knew what it was like? Did you do any research beforehand coming to town or anything like that?
No, I didn't really do any research. I knew what they were, especially having two teammates, actually three teammates that came from there. I knew what to expect, and I knew what the Carroll Merchants were all about. It was just winning games and all that. So, I mean, it was pretty easy to say, yeah.
Had you had the opportunity to play at Merchants Park with DMAC? Because I know they've hosted their tournament here a couple of times. Were you a part of that before you came?
No. My playing at DMAC was the first time I've ever been at Merchants Park. And it was very fun playing at Merchants Park. You can feel the historicness in it.
Yeah.
And so I got to ask you, you know, Merchants Park and here as recently with you guys, you know, you've had a lot of fans in the crowd as well. What's that difference been like, you know, playing in front of a lot of people that are cheering you on every night?
I love it. I love getting in front of a big crowd, especially a crowd that's got your back. It's more the energy you feel, and you don't feel like the pressure. Like, baseball's a hard game, and everybody understands that. So it's, like I said, the community here is amazing. And it's good to get out in front of them and give them a show, because I've heard from past teams, they're like, people just wait for the walk, and we hit. Like, the Carroll Merchants hit this year, and so it's nice to give them a show and give them something to come out and want to stay and not just want to leave in, like, the fifth or sixth inning, and they want to stay all nine innings because we're up 13. So it's fun being in front of that many people.
With you being from the Lynn Mar area, you know, over by Cedar Rapids, I'm assuming you're staying here in town, but how often are you able to get home, or just you're so happy here that and you're busy enough that you don't really run home very often?
No, I don't really go home a lot. I mean, I play 2 hours away from home. I'm only an hour farther, but I mean, going home is fun, but I love being out here just playing ball. So
who's your host family?
Carrie and Jay Reesberg.
Good people. they I do know Carrie and Jay. I think they hosted a player quite a bit, and sometimes they've hosted more than one. I don't know.
Last year they hosted two.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes they host more than one. Austin, for the people that are listening that don't know you or have stopped out and seen the Merchants play, let them know about yourself a little bit. You know, obviously we mentioned you went to Lynn Mar. You know, what position do you play and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I catch and I play everywhere. If you come to a game, you'll probably see me at third a lot too, but I just love playing the field, so I don't really play much else but the field, so.
I want you to kind of, there's a lot of kids nowadays that, you know, tend to want to, like, I play just this position or that. you're a guy, you want to get out on the field. So talk about how beneficial it is to have that ability to play lots of different bases, because it kind of makes you more valuable to a coach because you can fill in so many different spots.
Yeah, of course. I have a good story about DMAC. I came in as a catcher, and I told them that I play third base. I really didn't. I just told them I played. And they're like, yeah, we see potential in it. And then my freshman year, play a little bit of third. And then my last year, I was our starting third baseman. So it's like, play as many positions as you can as a young age, get good at them. And then when you get to high school, you can kind of focus on, like, if you're playing the outfield, infield, or if you're going to catch. But if you're going to catch, I would also pick up another position if it's the outfield, if it's that. Because if your bat's hot and let's say there's a little bit better defender as a catcher, you'll find your way in the lineup if your bat's hot. So it's good to know the other positions.
Speaking of good hitting, you're hitting a little over, what, 290, I think, right now? The guy that knows his numbers, you know that he's hitting good and having a good season when a guy knows his numbers. But 293 right now, what's it been like with the transition? Because when you're in high school and college, you hit with the aluminum, you know, the alloy bats. Now you're using wood bats. What's the difference for you that you've seen, you know, in that little bit of a switch?
Yeah, it's just like I got to kind of be on the barrel a little bit more. Like the balls that I usually could get to the wall that are off the hands or off the end, like, can't do that right now. So being on the barrel is really crucial. Kind of had a slow start to my merchant season, but I've been just finding ways to get it done, and that's really all that you can do as a baseball player. You can't win all of them. So.
And so I got to ask you about this. You know, you kind of make this transition into college where you play with some guys that you've never played with before, and then you make that transition again coming to the Merchants. And, you know, you guys have played some really well baseball. You know, how was that transition to, you know, bring a bunch of guys together that haven't really played together before, and now you guys are playing pretty elite baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I pride myself in being a guy that, like, brings the team together and is, like, I don't like to be a guy that brings people down or brings teammates down. I like to bring everybody in, and I think we built up a chemistry of the team so close right now, and we got a lot of returning guys, and we got a lot of DMAC guys. I think we got six or seven DMAC guys. Like, I mean, it's easy when you got a lot of guys that just want the same thing, and that's to win. Especially when we're arguably the best team in the Mink, we want to keep that going. So, I mean, It's kind of just everybody wants the same thing. They want to win games.
When you got here, Austin, you only had a couple of days to practice, and you turn it right around, and then there's your first game. How did you stand out to the coaches to say, hey, put me at third, I want to play? You know, what was that process like for you to really make yourself known to the coaches to get that playing time?
I mean, I kind of just told him I could, and he's like, yeah, we're going to give you a shot. And so I got a shot, and then in my first game there, I hit a grand slam and made a play. So he's like, yeah, you can stay at third. So,
what? Two questions for you, and I got to have to step out here for just a moment, but take me through the grand slam, because those don't always happen, so that had to be a lot of fun. And then number two, when I first got in here this morning, you were talking about this Mink League race. It seems to me like winning the Mink really matters to you guys.
Yeah, so I'll start the first one. That first one, I mean, if I was going to hit my first homer in the Mink, it was going to be at home. And I was 0-for-3 going in there, hitting the ball good, just not falling. And I was like, all right, you know what, it's time to do it. And so got a pitch, I could hit it, and I pulled it down the left field line. So, and it's just there happened to be three other people in front of me that got on base. So thank God to them. That made it even cooler. But and then the second question, yeah, I mean, when we started off that hot, we were like, this could be done. Like, 13-4 is a pretty good record, especially when you got teams like St. Joe, teams like Clarinda. Like, they're tough teams. They got some good guys, and, like, we've put some numbers up on them. And, I mean, especially the St. Joe game the other night, it's like we won Sunday, lost the next day, we played them, and then ended up winning that second time. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're putting good baseball together against good teams. So it's not like it's just, you know, we're playing crappy teams. We're winning good ball games. So yeah, we're trying to be the best team in the Mink. So hopefully no more losses.
Yeah, sitting 13-4 right now and 8-1 in your last 10 games. So I would say, you know, you guys are playing really good baseball. What's it like, and how how does that build the chemistry when you're winning so much compared? Because, you know, when you're losing, guys could get down on themselves and stuff like that, but you're winning right now. How has that, you know, helped the team chemistry and all of you guys that might not be familiar with each other come so close together?
Yeah, I mean, when you're winning baseball games, everyone's happy. No one's really down in the dumps. Or no one's really thinking about themselves. When you're winning baseball games, that's all that matters at the time. So it's you kind of take the me out of there and you take the we. That's what we've kind of been doing too. We've had our me time, which when we're up by a lot, that's your me time. But we have our team and our we time in the first couple innings. So we just get up by a lot, and then we can just go me. Get your stuff done. Like get what you want. So go get that base hit. Go get that strikeout. Like that's your time. But the me time is out of there until we start doing that. Yeah. So which I do like. So.
You know, talk about the travelings. Obviously, you got to go down to Missouri. You got to kind of travel a little bit of these distances here to play some of these teams. So what's the traveling been like for you?
I mean, I got used to it, but I think traveling's fun. We make it fun on the road. So we have a bunch of games we play and all that. The hardest part is the on the bus. So, I mean, you could definitely tell when we had our long trip down to Joplin and Chillicothe. It was a four-day trip. And so it's like that last day we were like, yeah, it's getting to us. So. But, I mean, we found ways to win games. So, even we win ugly, sometimes you got to do that. Mm-hmm. So, it's all about how you get it done. It doesn't matter if it's pretty, if it's ugly. It matters how you get it done.
How do you yourself handle those long road trips, especially, as you mentioned, you're gone for 4 days. Well, you could come back, turn around, get back early in the morning, then you got to come around, turn around, play a night game that night. How do you yourself manage those long road trips and then those days like that with a short turnaround?
Yeah, it's just making sure I get my sleep. It's very crucial, and then just resting up. As a baseball player, it's really hard in your body. You just got to rest. So you don't really have the time, especially like that. You go play four games, then you have the fifth game right in a row. It's at your place, and you got to put on a show. So it's like you kind of just have to sack it up and do it. I mean, there's no other explanation. You signed up to do it, so you have to find a way and perform.
Austin, one thing I want to know, you seem like a guy that is very passionate about the game. Where did that come from?
I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, my family never really played baseball. I had a couple people in my family that played baseball, but nothing like major. Mm-hmm. I'm the first kid in my family to play a collegiate sport. So it kind of just came from myself. Like, I wanted to do it, and so I just stuck with it. And thank God I have my family. Put the time and effort into letting me. So, yeah, it kind of just came for myself, and I got pretty good at it. And so I was like, you know, this is a shot I have.
Two-part question for you again. One, you brought up your family. I don't know if anybody asked while I had to step out, but tell us about your family. And then number two, when did you start playing the game, and where did that love, and when did you realize you started to love the game of baseball?
Well, I'll start with the second part. I started since I could remember. I mean, I played a bunch of sports growing up, but I was always baseball-driven. And then my stepdad actually kept me in the game. He played baseball growing up, and then he, since he played, he was able to help me out throughout my life and all that. And he was kind of the one that, like, kept me playing. I mean, especially coming from a family that wasn't really sports-driven to then my stepdad coming in my life and he, like, pushed me to keep going. He's like, yeah, this could be a thing that you could do. And he just helped me every day. And he helped me. He traveled with me, coached me all the way. And, I mean, I had family that just supported me. Everybody in my family supported me. It's just nice to know.
Brothers, sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about the family and let everybody know a little history of you.
Okay. So, yeah, I got four siblings. I got two sisters around the same age, but then I got two brothers around the same age. Kind of just have two brothers, two sisters. And my family is split, but I don't really view them as split. I see them both a lot. Right. So I kind of just have a mom and a dad and two step parents, but it's like I see everybody as my family. So it's there's no distance.
Do they get to come out and catch quite a few games? Oh, yeah. Especially when you're in town, that's always great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've come to a lot of games so far, so it's always nice to know that they're going to drive this way. Yep. So,
you mentioned earlier that a lot of the guys from DMAC are over here playing. Was that a conversation that kind of quickly went through the team over there once the first couple of guys got asked that it was like, let's kind of go play together?
Oh, yeah. I was the first one to get asked, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. And then another guy got asked, and he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. So I was like, oh, now I'm really going to do it since I have somebody that I know. And then a lot of other guys got asked, but then the team got, like, full, and a lot of guys opted out. So Rod just called up Nick at DMAC, and he was like, hey, you got players? And sure enough, we sent six more guys over here. So that's always fun. I mean, when you got six guys from DMAC, I mean, not the two are on my own horn, but DMAC wins games. So we know how to win.
What is it about DMAC that helps you guys win games, as you say?
Well, I will say, if you're going to try and go to a junior college, you go to DMAC. If you're going to play sports, especially baseball, because the group and, like, living situation, you live in an apartment, you got 40 guys in one apartment, so it's a fun time. And then just, like, I like the coaching staff personally. That's why I kind of committed there. And, I mean, they're awesome. Like, they're not super uptight, but, like, they also want to win. So they're going to put the best people out there to win the game, and they're going to give you the best opportunity to win the game. So I think it's a great. And, I mean, we got six DMAC guys, and we're 13-4, so.
You mentioned 40 guys in the apartment, and that's fun. What do you do for fun here when you're not playing baseball?
Well, we kind of just, like, hang around. We go golfing a lot. We do golf. And then we sometimes come out to the ranch. We did that a lot at the beginning of the season, but, I mean, we've been doing so much baseball that it's hard to get out there. It's kind of a drive, but at the same time, it's a fun time. And then, like, we do a lot of stuff. So, like, we've been to the pool and have seen some kids that, like, come around, like, you play Merchants? And we're like, yeah, yeah. So, like, we just try to get out in the community a little bit too, and golf, and then go out to eat a lot. We'll go train at the field. We'll just hang out at the field a lot. Mm-hmm. So I know I go fishing a lot, so that's where I spend some time with the guys doing that. So
What's it like when you are out in the community and the people recognize you, like, oh, you play for the Merchants? You know, what's that feeling like to get recognized in that kind of way?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's nice because it's like I said, the community, dude, they pay attention, they care, they show their support, and it's nice to be in an area like that where you can walk out and you, like, wear a Merchants gear, I wear my Merchants hat, and someone's like, you play for the Merchants? And then we just talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would talk baseball every day, and it's very nice to know that people actually, like, are care. Like, they notice the little things, and so it's like, especially the kids. The kids are, they think it's, they, like, ask, did you get paid? Like, they want to be a Merchants. When you win ball games, they want to come to the game, and they want to be a Merchant when they're older. And that's kind of my strive too, because having a little brother in the game, I want to do whatever I can to make him keep playing and to make sure, like, this game stays alive how it is.
You ever get the little kids come up and ask you for an autograph?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah.
What's that like?
I mean, my signature is not getting any better, though. My signature still kind of sucks, but I love it because I never really got that until now. And then it's just a fun time. They're just showing their support, and we're showing them what it's like. And as if you keep in the sport and you keep working at it, this is something that they can do when they're older. So.
What have you talked to the guys that are out-of-state guys about to help them transition to Iowa? It's not that different here, but, you know, it's a little different. You mentioned you had a guy from Tennessee. I'm sure it's a little different here than it is there.
Yeah, he came here, and he was like, yeah, I came to Iowa because I thought it wasn't going to be as hot. It's not as hot, but it is sure humid here. We got two returners, one's from Arkansas, one's from, North Carolina. Or South Carolina, one of the two, and, I mean, you kind of adjust, but I think they like Iowa because it's small, so they don't, and there's not much to do here in Iowa. You got some stuff to do, but especially Carroll. Carroll's fun because there's not much to do, but there's stuff to do here that makes it fun, so.
How's the golf game, and when you go fishing, what do you fish for?
Well, my golf game's not good. Let me tell you, my golf game is not very good. You catch me on a couple holes where I get streak and I'm good, but don't care. I cannot do 18. I got enough balls for 9 holes. Give me 18 holes. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be in the woods more than I'm playing. And then when I fish, I just go bass fishing. So it's kind of the go-to here in Iowa. It's one of the easier fish to catch here in Iowa. So that's really what I go. And got 2 ponds out there by Carrie's house. So that's kind of nice.
One last question for you here, Austin. Future plans for you. You're at DMAC right now. You've been there for a couple of years. What's next for you after this summer?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the waiting game right now. I've been talking to my head coach a lot. He said that I'm in a good spot. So it's kind of since when the College World Series just ended, it's the transfer portal. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just seeing what teams are doing now. So, I mean, some schools have been interested, so I'm just waiting on, like, an actual, like, confirmation that it's full go. So,
what's it like playing in today? And I know you didn't play prior to the, you know, the transfer portal, but you just mentioned it's wild. What's that like going, you know, this team could be so different. You know, I might be somewhere else because of the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. Like, I mean, even some coaches don't know what's going to go on until that transfer portal opens up. Because kids might get talked to by another school or want to go JUCO or just done. Like, it's the transport is weird because you got guys coming out of high school, then you got guys coming from JUCO, and you got guys coming from other universities. So it's coaches. It's a hard time in the transfer portal, which is why it's like you just got to play the waiting game. So I mean, we got a lot of guys that are playing the waiting game, and it's a thing because it's, I mean, they got to see what they're doing with their own program first. They got to see what they need, what they want. Like, it's – I mean, I'm not worried about it. So, I know my game, and I know that someone's going to pick me up. So,
yeah.
I'm not really worried about it, and I still got another, 2 months left. We're still in June, so we're still in the early stages of it. So, usually a lot of our guys from DMAC commit pretty late. So –
Well, Austin, I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was Austin Anderson with the Carroll Merchants. We'll step away, take a break, talk high school sports when we come back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show.
Tune in tomorrow morning during the 7 o'clock hour to hear from Chaplain Angelo for a rise and shine. Be inspired, reconnect, and reflect with a quick inspirational message. Tune in tomorrow for a rise and shine during the 7 o'clock hour. Brought to you by St. Anthony Regional Hospital.
Hi, my name is Taya Vanami, nurse practitioner at Manning Recovery Center. The opioid crisis affects families, workplaces, and entire communities. Prevention starts with education, responsible prescribing, and proper medication use. Ask questions, follow directions, dispose of unused prescriptions safely. Together, we can reduce misuse and support those in need. And if you need help, reach out to the Manning Recovery Center or your local Narcotics Anonymous. In the Carroll, Lake City, Audubon, and Manning area, it's MANA, Members Area of Narcotics Anonymous. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness and prevention in our community.
Around here, we still believe there's something special about a summer evening spent with friends and neighbors. They happen sitting in a lawn chair next to neighbors, listening to music, watching kids run around, and catching up with people you haven't seen in a while. That's why Mid-Iowa Insurance and Real Estate and Dries Company are proud to support the Carroll Chambers live and local. Join us Thursday, June 25th, Depot Park, as your local favorites, Age Spirits, take the stage from 6 to 9. Enjoy a great night of live music, food trucks, and a fun evening for all ages. We'll save you a spot.
Bob here from Michael Shoes. I take pride in being a veteran-owned small business, and your support matters more than you know. I believe in good quality footwear, from athletic and casual styles to rugged work boots, plus insoles, socks, and accessories. Experience customer service above the rest at Michael Shoes in the Thomas Plaza, Carroll, Iowa.
It is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning on this Tuesday. Casey Miners, Mason Nealon, Jeff Blankman with you guys. And time to talk some local sports. And it was a busy night last night for you guys. What, 4 doubleheaders between baseball and softball, and then a full slate on top of that? So I'm surprised both of you are here and wide-eyed, ready to go this morning.
Yeah, I apologize to Mason last night. It was one of those nights where I had a broadcast and he didn't. So generally when we do that, whoever's back and not doing a game, they just type whatever's coming in. So usually if we're both out, we try to split it where one does baseball and the other does softball. But in that situation, he's back at, you know, at the office just typing and typing and typing. And then when I finally got home It was a little after 11 after I stopped here at the office last night, got some things done. Then I, you know, I helped finish up whatever's not done. So he had a little bit of a busy night. But you're right, yeah, when both Carroll and Kemper, both baseball and softball, have doubleheaders, and then almost every other team we cover. It was a busy night, but not really any later than a lot of the other nights that we have. So
yeah, and I mean, all of our 9 baseball teams played, including 2 doubleheaders. So, I mean, that gets for a long night. And softball had some pretty interesting games. But, you know, it's always fun to see those, because obviously there were some big moments last night and some big moments, you know, even in the last week here, obviously, that we've had some pretty fun games. So, yeah, it's been a pretty crazy week.
Jeff, you had an interesting game last night, to say the least. I mean, 34 combined runs, and it didn't even go the full length.
You know, it was interesting because I sat out there through the first game. And we'll talk about the end of that one here in just a second. Creston held on for an 8-7 win. Kemper had a chance to win it, and a miscue kind of opened the door, and Creston took advantage. And then Kemper loads up the bases in the bottom half of the 7th inning, 2 outs. And tip your cap to Malia Adams. She couldn't have done any more. She hits a rocket. I mean, it's going into right center. 2 runs are going to score. Knights are going to win the game. They're going to celebrate heading into game 2. Nope, second baseman jumps up and snow cones it.
Oh, wow.
To end the ball game. And literally, if that ball would have been another inch higher, or maybe 2 inches higher, it's in the right center, and with 2 outs, the runners are going. You know, Kemper wins, but they end up falling that first game. 8-7, there was a lot of really good pitching. Addison Schoen had a couple of home runs for the Knights in that game. And then game 2 was, it's a typical second game sometimes of a doubleheader. It's always weird that if the first game's not a pitching duel, then the second game is. If the second game, you know, if the first game's a pitching duel, then generally the second game isn't. Well, yeah, it wasn't. There was a lot of walks last night in that second game. There was quite a few hits. Lucky for Kemper, they had a big inning and put themselves up. They scored 5 in the first, 5 in the second, and found themselves tied 10-10. Which doesn't happen all that very often. And then they fell behind, and then they rallied and had a big inning and almost ended it. They had a runner at third in the bottom of the fourth. They're up 9. And Creston was able to get out of it. But then, you know, the Knights, Aubrey Cardiel came in, pitched the last couple innings for him. She shut him down, and the Knights went out, and Addison Schoen hits a double that was almost gone. It was off of the fence out in left field. And the left fielder ran into the fence trying to make the catch and fell down. So the ball squirted back towards the infield a little bit. And 2 runners on, both come in to score. And that ends it as the Knights pick up a 21-13 5-inning victory last night. So, yeah, kind of a wild and crazy game. There was some really good defensive play. Charlotte Schwabe made an amazing catch, kind of a over-the-shoulder in shallow right field where she caught it, and then it popped out of the glove. And she's, like, still running backwards, and the ball's bouncing around, and she finally reaches out and snares it and was able to, you know, secure the out that way. So just, a fun game. There was a young lady, I can't think of her name right now, the left fielder from Creston, almost made an incredible diving catch. I'm talking completely sprawled out on a full speed run to the line and had the ball in the glove, and then it popped out as she hit the ground. But just an amazing effort. So, yeah, fun game, but good for the Knights. They were able to snap their losing streak. They had dropped 3 straight. Kind of interesting for them. They had won 5 in a row, and then they had lost 5 of their last 6. After the first game last night. So maybe that win last night, you know, in the second game will spark them a little bit and get them started on a hot streak again.
Team that's hit the ball really well all season long. Charlotte Schwabe has been fantastic for them, you know, especially at the plate this year, and so has Addison Schoen. So a team that hits the ball well, pitches well, and sometimes the defense is lacking a little bit, but they play some really good softball, and I expect them to be, you know, with the season winding down to the end, I don't know if I quite want to see them with how well they are at the plate.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They're under 500 right now, but have, I think, 8 girls hitting well over 300 on the year. So it tells you the offense, not the problem. They've had some issues with pitching at times this year. That hasn't been real consistent. But they won't be an easy team to beat in the postseason, because you're going to have to outscore them. They're going to put 8-10 runs on the board pretty much every game they go out. So if you can't hit the ball and can't, you know, take advantage of maybe some mistakes, you're going to have a hard time outscoring them. So they're not going to be an easy out. And it's going to be fun to watch. Postseason pairings should be out sometime tomorrow.
They should start playing. I don't know if you know this reference, Casey. You've ever seen 2016 Chino Hills basketball? They don't play defense, and it was LaMelo Ball and Lonzo Ball. All they do is they just throw the ball up in the front court, and they outscore you. I think that's where you go with that one, is you just – I mean – you just go defense. We're not going to be strong on defense. We're just going to outscore you because our offense is that good.
You can try that. I don't think it works as well in softball or baseball, and I'm surprised it worked that often in basketball too.
I'm not even kidding you, Jeff. You watch some of those highlights, and they would come down and score, and they would like jog back. The other team would go down to score full court, you know, pass down the way, and they'd have another guy there just lob it up, and it'd be a dunk, and they'd score.
That's not basketball. Sorry, that's just the old guy in me coming out. But defense is a part of the game.
I tell you what, though, last night too, type in baseball right recaps. Kemper boys. I mean, you talked about this too. They find ways to win. Tied up going into the extra innings, eighth inning. First pitch for Nash Leonard in the bottom of the eighth takes a bomb over the right field wall and walks it off. And Kemper been playing some really good baseball, even dating back to last week when you did the Coon Rapids Baird Kemper game, and what was kind of a crazy finish to that one. They found a way to win, and they're now within the top 10 of 2A.
Yeah, but down, you know, to Coon 4-2 going into the bottom of the seventh last week. But you just always know Kemper's got that history of rallying. You know, and they score three in the bottom half. They get the bases loaded and, you know, catch a little bit of a break ground ball on the infield that could have been a double play to send the game into extra innings. But, Noah Ryman scores and Ben Cook gets the game-winning RBI, and the Knights celebrate out on the field. And that win over number one Coon Rapids jumps them into the rankings. The good thing for Coon was the loss didn't hurt them in the rankings. They stay number one in Class 1A. They've got two losses. Martinsdale St. Mary's at number two has three losses. And for Coon, both of their losses, now two ranked teams that are bigger, a 2A school and a 3A school. So I think that's why they stayed at number one and had a chance really to win both of those games. But like Coach Waddle said, they're a 1A school. They're not without flaws. There's probably not a 1A school in the state right now that's not got some flaws, and they're working to get those flaws better. Part of that's the bottom part of the order's got to hit a little bit more consistently. I think they need to throw strikes a little bit more often at times. Sometimes, they make a miscue on defense. Not very often. They're so fundamentally good, but got to love what Kemper's doing right now. I talked to some people out at the Kemper softball game last night, and they were talking about the baseball team, and they're like, nobody thought this was going to happen with this year's team. They're playing some young guys, some inexperienced guys. They knew that they'd have some arms to be able to throw pretty well, but I don't know if anybody anticipated 17-5 on the season right now, and one of the better teams in the Hawkeye 10 Conference.
We've talked about it too. We've been not shocked with how they've played, but pleasantly surprised with how they've played. One thing I want to mention, I didn't have a question for it. Is the association not doing their own rankings this year?
They haven't.
Surprises me with how late in the season we are right now.
Yeah. The Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association is kind of handling that, which I don't mind, as long as coaches, and I know it's difficult, but they do a really good job. Sometimes you're so focused on your own team, and I get it. I will be the first one to tell you, I used to vote for the AP, and I used to vote for the Radio Iowa poll because we're connected with both of those sources. And I quit voting about probably 10 to 12 years ago simply because I'm like, I know what's going on with the teams in my area, and I feel pretty confident about understanding and knowing the teams in the conferences that we have schools in. Couldn't tell you much besides a little bit of reading that you do, for Eastern Iowa teams, Southern Iowa teams, Northwest Iowa teams. You don't see them and stuff. So it's difficult to truly get a good grasp. And coaches talk to each other. They're able to watch, huddle nowadays and YouTube. So I think coaches have a pretty good grasp of what's going on. And I think they do a pretty nice job with their rankings. So that's the rankings that I usually go by. So if you hear us talking about baseball rankings, it's from the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association. So Not an easy thing to do, though.
No.
To rank. It's not.
For four classes. Yeah. No. Yeah. It can't be. And speaking of baseball and softball action, Audubon, Exira Elkhorn came in on Audubon with the big win last week, too, over Loma. I know I texted you guys last night, Riverside on a roll right now.
Right.
After they beat, you know, Audubon, they've been on a roll, knocked off Missouri Valley last night in softball action. But Spartans and the Wheelers picked up a really big win over Loma last week.
And I tell you what, Riverside last week, Loma on Monday, Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton on Tuesday, Loma on Wednesday to start their week. And they beat Loma twice. I mean, they were on fire winning both of those games. But I did the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon Loma game, and they fall down, had a couple of early mistakes, fell down 5-0 in the first inning, and I was thinking to myself, this is ugly right now. I'm like, this, if they play like this, it's going to be a 10-0 whatever game. They come out right away, and Taryn gets on base, Anna Larson hits her around on an RBI double, and then Riley Miller hits one right over the foul pole in left field, and then there's bang, 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 three with no outs. And I'm like, This is interesting now. And then they put up three more in the bottom half of the order, go up 6-5, and after that, I mean, you brought in Riley Miller, and I mean, dominant. Just picked up her 700th career strikeout on the first strikeout of the night, and credit, I can't remember the Loma girl's name, but she picked up her 400th strikeout that night, so you had that fun pitching duel. But I mean, just dominant. They hit the ball. I think they had 14 or 15 hits in that game. I mean, they hit the ball hard. They find gaps. They make plays on defense. Even if they do have a couple of errors, I mean, they still find a way to make the play. And, you know, they're a really tough team. And that was my first chance seeing them since the start of the year. And they're a really good team.
Yeah,
not many weaknesses when they're hitting the ball. And their lineup's got a lot of really good bats. I know we talk a lot about Taryn and Riley, and rightfully so, because I think they're two elite players. But Briley Peterson is having a tremendous year again and hits the cover off the ball. Anna Larson just quietly goes out and hits right around 400 and is, you know, an extremely good defensive outfielder. Lucy Standerson has grown into an extremely strong third baseman, especially on the defensive side of things and stuff. You know, Abby Wunzer struggled a little bit early in the season with a bat, but now almost every game you type up, she's 2-2 or 2-3 or 3-4, and she's starting to come on. Jordan Mulford hitting well over 300 and gives you that you know, that kind of another leadoff hitter down in the number 9 spot. So there's really not weaknesses in that team. Zoe Rasmussen starting to hit the ball. You know, I think if they play the way they're capable of, they're going to be a difficult out for anybody in 1A. I don't think anybody in 1A wants them in their region because of their, you know, not that they don't have any weaknesses, because no team's perfect, but they have less weaknesses than most teams, I think, when they're playing the way they're capable of playing.
Yeah, I agree. And since that loss to Riverside, they've, what, ripped off 4 or 5 in a row here?
Yep. You know, won the Griswold tournament over the weekend. Kind of handled both games. I know if you look at just score, you're not going to think, but they were up 7-1 on St. Albert going into the bottom of the seventh and gave up 2 to end up winning 7-3, but you never felt like the game was in doubt. And then after a little bit of a slow start, they gave up 4 early. I don't know if they were completely focused on the Griswold championship game, but once they kind of woke up, and it was kind of interesting, you could hear the dugout, you could hear the parents kind of going, come on, girls, let's get focused in this game. And the next thing they know, they throw out a big inning, and one of the parents that was sitting down to my right's like, well, looks like they finally focused and stuff, and they cruise to a win in that championship game. So
Griswold's a good team. They just knocked off number 12 Fremont Mills last night, so
yep.
Griswold's a good team. And you mentioned they're going to be tested too going into the postseason, because they've got, is the Newell game this week or is it next?
I think it's next week.
They have Missouri Valley coming up this week.
Yeah, yep. That's
tonight.
The day they play. Yeah,
yep. I think they got Missouri Valley tonight.
Yeah. Well, that was one thing I was going to mention too. I was looking at Missouri Valley's, you know, schedule last night when I had some time after I found out that Riverside beat them. Missouri Valley goes Riverside, Audubon, then Loma. So all four of those teams don't get pretty much a night off during the week,
right?
Because you're having to play them twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I talked about it with Andy Schwery in the interview, you know, this week. And I mean, you look at the WIC, they're the fifth best team in the WIC. And she's like, any other person would be like, oh, you're the fifth best in your own conference. I mean, that's not that good. But when you're behind Missouri Valley, Riverside, Xyro, and Kimbleton, Audubon, and Loma, it's like fifth doesn't seem too bad because you're sitting at, you know, 13-8 after a win last night. But, I mean, eight of your losses, if you look at it, are coming to ranked teams. I mean, you're playing really good competition each week, and I think that's what benefits Xyro, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, Audubon, and IKM Manning is you play ranked 2A opponents every week. When you come back down to the post, and it's like, what can we do against a 1A school when we've been playing ranked 2A schools all year?
The only thing I worry about is regionals are coming out, and I worry about proximity.
Yep.
I worry about proximity with IKM Manning. I do. I think they're going to be a tough out. But if you are stuck in a semifinal with Xyra, you know, it's going to be a tough game.
It is.
It is. But IKM Manning, at that point, if that's what happens, sees him a third time, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
At that point.
And I'm hoping that the state – sorry, Mason. I'm hoping that the state doesn't pair the Spartans and the Wolves up for a third time. I'm hoping they ship IKM Manning a different direction. I'd love to see that team get an opportunity to have to.
They're a good ball club.
Yeah, they are. To not have to go through, you know, Xyro, Kern, Kimbleton. I don't care if you send them north or where you send them, but I think it would be interesting to give that team coming out of that conference the opportunity to show what they can do against schools that aren't in that conference.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, and I want to see this game next week with Xyro, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and Newell Fonda, because I know you saw them against East Sac, and so I don't really truly know how good Newell Fonda is. I know, obviously, with the name, they're going to be good in almost any girl sport anyway, but, you know, if you put IKM in against a Newell Fonda, I think that's a pretty good game, even if you give them like a St. Albert, some of those 1A schools that are not Xyro, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, Audubon. They're going to be pretty good games, but you got to wonder. I mean, you play that waiting game of, I think we can go this way, I think we can get this team, but you never truly know because the union, the association, they could throw you a complete curveball and send you some random place that you would have never thought. But, I mean, now we're just kind of waiting there until all that comes out.
Yeah, and from what I understand, softball pairing sometime tomorrow. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, what'll probably end up happening is I'll be out doing my game tomorrow night and the pairings will come out. That's usually the way they do it to me.
And Mason went with what I was going to bring up next with IKM Manning, a team that's been battle-tested. And a team, I think, if you look at them, as you hope so throughout the year, you watch them play, you know, those first couple of games, you know, they lose to Xyra, then me and Jeff do the IKM Manning Kemper game. We're like, wow, this IKM Manning team's got a chance to be really good. And they sputtered a little bit. I think really starting to play some really good softball here the last week or so.
Yeah. Sitting, what, 13 or 14 and 8 right now?
I
think it's 13 and 8 after last night's win. Kind of quietly getting themselves up where they could finish up with 16, 17 wins and stuff. I think the thing that would really help them is I think it would be good if they could nip one of the teams that's above them in the conference in one of the games. Kind of the tough thing has been is I think they've been run ruled in almost all of the games against the top four teams in the league. Not that they haven't played well in those games. That just tells you how good that top of that league is. But I think if they could nip one of them or give them a really good scare, I think, you know, that could benefit them.
Dan, how many conferences do you get where a team could possibly win like a maximum of 17, 18 games and still be the fifth best team in that conference? I mean, that just shows you kind of the competition level, but I don't know if they have. Do they have any of those teams left?
I don't know if they do.
I was going to say,
they might have Loma left because they're finished with Xyra.
Right.
I know that, and I don't know about the other three.
Yeah, I'd have to glance through the schedule. I think they've got a chance to make a run. I do tip my cap to the girls' union in this when they put out their rankings. You know, like Xyra and Kimbleton last week gets beat in a game and moves up in the rankings because they lost in the bottom of the seventh inning to a high-ranked team in class 2A and their 1A.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you see it when a team loses, they just pay attention to the fact that they lost and they automatically drop them. But if you look, Loma, Missouri Valley, Riverside, and Xyro, Kern, Kimbleton, Audubon have been beating each other up in a way all season long, and it's not negatively impacting them in the rankings. And I appreciate that. I think that the girls' union understands how good of quality that the softball is with those teams.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know I was telling you that I was worried that that the association would recognize, because when you're Audubon, you look back at their wins so far this season, you beat Atlantic, who is, what, top 10 in Class 3A right now.
And I think they'd given them what their only loss
one of their
the
only
year.
They've got a couple
they've
more
got
now.
They've got two now, but but I think at that time
it was the only loss.
It was the only loss they had.
Yeah. Credit to the Union on what they've been doing, and they do a really good job coming postseason time to separate those teams as well.
Yep.
So it should be really interesting. We'll step away, take a break. We'll wrap up the CB Sports Network Rewind Show when we come back here on KCIM.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Looking for a rewarding way to make a difference? Kemper Catholic School is hiring bus drivers. We're currently seeking a PM route driver, substitute route drivers, and activity trip drivers. Bus drivers play a vital role in safely transporting students to and from school, activities, and events throughout our area. Whether you're looking for a regular route or occasional driving opportunities, we'd love to hear from you. For more information or to apply, call Kemper Catholic School at 712-792-3313 and ask for Katie Reesberg, or visit kemper.org. Join the team and help keep this valuable service available to our students and families.
Summer in Iowa goes fast, so let's make it count. Carol Broadcasting is bringing you Adventureland Summer Bucket List. We want to hear what's on your summer bucket list. Is it thrill rides at Adventureland?
I can't wait to hit the theme parks.
A ball game with the iCubs? Weekend road trips, fairs, food, and fun?
Got me riding on your roller coaster.
Tell us what you're dreaming up to do this summer, and you could win tickets to Adventureland, iCub games, and more. That's right, more! Because we could be adding new prizes all summer long. It's your summer, your bucket list, and your chance to win big. Enter now at carolbroadcasting.com and get ready to check off your best summer ever. With 1380 KCIM, 93.7 KKRL, and KICK 106.7.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, at KCIM. Back talking a little bit of baseball, and also we get to announce that the KCIM Summer Sports, the Rewind festivities have been solidified with the date, Jeff, and that's coming up right here before we know it.
Yeah, Thursday, July the 16th, so you know, just about 3 weeks away right now. We've got a lot of work to get done between now and then, but again, as always, it's going to be out at the Carroll High School softball field, which is right there by the Aquatic Center. We're going to start it that night at around 6 o'clock in the evening, so hopefully it'll be a little bit cooler that night. Gates will open up at 5:45. We'll start things off with our home run derby, and again, that'll be for all of the kids that are invited. Now, if someone of the coaches maybe get invited, want to take a few swings, we might let the coaches do that.
They'll square off with Mason if he does it.
There you go.
Yeah. I would do it. I seriously would.
Yeah, he was going to shoot the three-point shooting contest and backed out the day of, too, so we'll see. But you're going to get 10 pitches. The kids will get 10 pitches to be able to hit. Then we'll have our slow pitch all-star game. We're going to try and split it between softball and baseball because all of the kids invited, again, are eligible to play in it, so it doesn't have to be just seniors. So we'll probably do a softball slow pitch all-star game and then a baseball slow pitch all-star game, kind of let the kids have some fun, and then we'll have our award ceremony. Again, the event is free. It's open to the public, so you can come on out and have some fun with that. But again, I'll get more details put out. We'll announce the kids invited probably around the 5th or 6th of July, so I know it's going to be kind of pushing time-wise, but we wanted to let at least most, if not all, of the regular season get done and stuff. This summer one's always kind of tough because with the dead week right after state baseball and state softball, you can't have the kids and coaches around. Most of the kids take off and go on vacations. So it's kind of a quick turnaround between when we announce who's been invited and who's going to be on the Rewind teams to when we have to have the event and stuff. But it still should be a lot of fun, and hopefully we get some good weather on that evening.
Yeah, I do want to mention something else coming up tonight that we haven't talked about yet. East Sac's got their pink out night up there in Wall Lake tonight.
Yeah, usually we get Steve in here and didn't get a chance to get him in this year. It's probably me dropping the ball, but you know, I also know Steve's been extremely busy. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, I kind of joked with Steve yesterday when I did our weekly interview with him that, you know, I had two games of their schedule this year to broadcast, and both of them got rained out. So I said, I scheduled Mason to broadcast to keep the rain away, and then I'll come up if the rain stays away and help out with the broadcast tonight. But, yeah, they do just an amazing job with their pink out. You know, they'll have cancer survivors, you know, throwing out first pitches tonight. The chalk is pink. They put in more effort than I've seen anybody do with their pink out nights in all of the pink out nights that I've been to.
And I'm extremely excited because I know last year you had said, you know, we want to do this pink out night and go broadcast. I know it either got rained out or something like that last year. So this is my first experience to see this. So I'm very excited tonight to be up there and be a part of that.
Yeah,
it should be a really, really fantastic night. I'd encourage anybody, if they're not out doing anything tonight, not going to a game or anything, go out to Wall Lake. Yeah, go out to Wall Lake and see what they've got going on tonight.
Yep, absolutely. They'll have great food up there, and they're going to have, you know, raffles, and they'll announce winners throughout the game. But, yeah, it's something special, and, you know, if you haven't been a part of it, you know, or just gone up and watched, I think you should do that.
Yeah, that'll wrap up the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM.